2 weeks ago, I came in and talked about 2018, what I felt like the Lord was putting on my heart for where we were going in 2018. If you didn't hear that sermon, I recommend you go back to our live stream recording on our website. Go to our media section, go down to live recorded events, click on that, and it'll give you the date for that. It's 2 weeks ago. I recommend you go back and listen to it because I felt like the Lord put something on my heart for where we were headed in 2018. Now, our vision, as Blake mentioned, is reaching our city to change the world. Reaching our city to change the world. And here's the passage of Scripture that I have been thinking about really for about 2 years. I've had my mind on this one verse. I keep coming back to that. Obviously, I don't read the same verse every day. But I went back, and periodically I felt like the Lord would bring me back to this. And it says in Isaiah 37, "This shall be a sign for you. You will eat this year what grows of itself, in the second year what springs from the same, and in the third year sow, reap, plant vineyards, and eat their fruit." Now, there's the main verse this is hinging on here, this sermon. "The surviving remnant of the house of Judah will again take root downward and bear fruit upward." So I talked about 2018 as being increase for 2018. And I read this passage to give you a little, go back and just want to give you a refresher on what we talked about before. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, the small together with the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. So if you put our picture up there, as we have been advertising it, increase. And what I talked about then was, in order for us to increase, in order for us to grow up, we got to go down. We got to go deep in order to go high. We got to go down in our hearts in order to increase in what we're doing in our lives personally and as a church. Now, I talked about an oak tree versus a pine tree. Anybody remember that? Yeah. I was out where we used to live, out behind our house. We lived in this one house for 12 years before we moved to where we are now. And there was this beautiful woods behind us. And the contractors eventually sold the woods. And I stood out there. They were tearing down my beautiful woods that were behind me. And they were put a bulldozer out there. And they went in, and there was a pine tree up. They took that bulldozer, and they pushed down that bulldozer and just knocked it right to the ground. I was sort of amazed by that. But those oak trees that were out there, they didn't dare try to push those down with that bulldozer. They had to bring out the huge chainsaws to try to move those around. So I thought it interesting the difference in the root system and how far the root system goes down in an oak tree and the strength of an oak tree compared to the strength of a pine tree. That's why every time there's a storm, it's usually pine trees that fall on your house. We're from Eastern North Carolina. We know what that's all about, right? But we have to go deeper in order to go higher. So I believe this year God wants to increase us, wants to increase you, wants to increase our church. And remember, I went through a list of things I believe God wanted to increase us in. And one of them was increase in faith, increase in peace, increase in capacity for influence. I talked about an increase in grace and a new vitality, just to mention a few of all these. So as I was thinking through about 20 different things that I mentioned or more about where I felt God wanted to increase us personally and as a church, the one that stuck out to most to me that I feel like is the underpinning and the foundation of everything we need in order to increase in our lives and in the church's life is the increase of grace. That grace is the bedrock upon which all these increases we need to have, that we need to increase this year in grace. So today we're going to be talking about grace. You know, it really sort of brings up two questions when you ask about grace. The one is, what is grace, for one thing? And the second thing is, how do I walk in more grace? That's two of the questions that usually come up when you talk about grace. And let me just say before I pray here that I'm not going to be able to totally encapsulate everything that has to do with grace. There's so much, it's so broad and so vast is this topic, and I can only give you just a smidgen of what we need today as far as this issue of grace. So let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the time we have together as we study and dive into grace and what grace means to us and how we live in grace and how we walk in grace. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So for us to go higher, we got to go lower. But for us to go lower and then go higher, we got to have grace in order to do it. Now, there's a pretty much a definition of what grace is, and your general dictionary is going to tell you it's the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and in the bestowing of gifts. Or shall we say, God's goodness and favor toward those who deserve only punishment. That's what grace is. Now, as I keep thinking through this, there really are three aspects of grace. Can I just teach you this morning? Yeah, let's just teach the Bible a bit. There's common grace. Common grace is the grace that God gives to every people, innumerable blessings that are not necessarily a part of someone's salvation. In other words, he causes the sun to rise, S-U-N, sun, in the sky, to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. The reason there's food in the earth, the reason there's rain in the earth, people are from all over the world, it's because of the common grace of God. Even the people who don't believe in Jesus, people all over the world, there's this general common grace that God gives us. And let me just say this, if God ever was to pull back his grace, complete chaos would happen. The zombie apocalypse would happen, which is not going to happen, by the way. Before Jesus will come back. But it would be complete chaos, complete devastation on every level without the grace of God bringing some order to society. So there's a common grace that God gives. It's not just the government or the military or the police that control the hearts of people. It's that is part of it, but there's a common grace that God gives us as human beings. Thank God for his grace. The second kind of grace is what we call salvation grace or salvific grace, to use the theological term even more. And it says in Ephesians, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them." Excuse me a second. When the ushers go turn the fans on? I'm hot. When the ushers, please go take care of that for me. Thank you. And so, anyway, for by grace you have been saved. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. And then in Acts 15 it says, "But we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus." In the same way as they also said, we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus. All right. We were separated from God because of sin entering the world. There was a separation between us and God. And because of that separation, he had to send his only son into the earth to die on the cross to raise from the dead. And because of him doing that, he was able to extend grace to us to forgive us for our sins. Look, we all deserve to be punished. You say, "Well, I've never done anything bad." Well, even in your heart, you've done something bad. All right. Even in your heart. And when you compare yourself to a holy, majestic God, creator of the universe, there's nothing holy about us. There's nothing that we deserve this. But because of his unmerited grace, because of what he did on that cross by taking upon him the sins of the world and humanity, because he did that, when he rose from the dead, he sealed it for us. That the forgiveness, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And by our repentance, our asking God to forgive us and asking him to come into our life, that's where that grace comes from. Our works can't do it. It's only about him. Our response is to repent. So that's salvific grace. We're saved because of what he did on the cross. That's the greatest form of grace you can ever imagine. Way beyond what we are worth, we should have. We didn't deserve that. But God gave us his grace as we repent, turn our lives to him, and he saves us and forgives us. So that's salvific grace. Now, where I'm going to spend most of my time on is this third kind of grace, and that is the grace to fulfill the call of God on your life, the grace to walk out your day in and your day out work. So that when it says the surviving remnant of the house of Israel will again take root downward and bear fruit upward, this is the grace that's going to cause us to do that. Now, I want to read 1 Corinthians 3 to you. Now, this is a very critical verse. I want you to read this with me. It should be on the screen. It says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and the foundation is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, or straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work, which he has built on it, remains, he receives a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, for he himself will be saved, yet so also through fire. Okay. So God gives us a grace to fulfill the call of God in our life. And when we stand before God, he is going to judge our works. It's not, we're already passed through judgment. If you're saved, if you know Jesus, you're not going to be judged as far as your salvation. But he will judge your works. It says here that if his wood, I think all of us probably got some silver and gold and precious stones in our works. And some of us probably got some wood, hay, and stubble. I think we all got some of that somewhere. And when you stand before God one day at the end of the age, he's going to judge our works. Like I said, he's not going to judge us as far as our salvation, but he's going to judge our works. So for us to have wood, not have all the wood, stay at hay and stubble, and have all the precious stones, I need God's grace in order for me to do that. And I need for me to increase this year. My grace has got to increase so that I can do producing gold, silver, and precious stones in my life and what I'm doing. Okay, now I'm hoping, thank God that Christianity is different than other religions. Other religions, it's all about your judgment of good and evil deeds. How many, did my good deeds outweigh my evil deeds or my bad deeds? That's other religions. In Christianity, it's not about your works. It's about salvation. It's about what he did, and I repent. It's not about us working our way into heaven. So that's why it says here, that last verse, if any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. So there is a grace that we need to carry out what God's called us to do. Now, the next question goes, all right, you told me what grace is. How do I walk in more grace? You defined it for me. You told me a few things about these different kinds of grace. Now, how do I walk in more grace? Let me read James chapter 4 to you. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Okay, so here's what we do. If we all want to grow in grace this year and increase, here's our responsibility as human beings. It says here, he gives a greater grace. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the what? So humility would be the number one. Most of the time, humility is a decision that you have to make. Let me say that again. Sometimes, humility is a decision that you have to make in your own mind. If somebody offends you or you respond a certain way, then there's humility. You can make a decision. I'm not going to act this way. I'm not going to respond this way. Now, all of us probably have some pride in our lives, me included. I'm going to raise my hand. Nobody else, don't raise your hand. I'm sure there's somebody out there besides me. But sometimes there's pride, you don't even know it. You know, one time when I was in college, I prayed one of the worst prayers I've ever prayed in my life. I prayed, "Lord, make me humble, God. Make me humble. Break my pride." It was, I tell you what, that I went through it. I never prayed that prayer again in my life. I figured, the Lord, if he wants me humble, he's going to get me humble. I'm not going to pray for it anymore, because it was the worst prayer I ever prayed. It was miserable after that. God dealt me, because sometimes the school of hard knocks is the only way humility comes into your life. Those of us who are older, we've been through some stuff. And it brings a little humility in you when you've been through some stuff. So sometimes you young people need to listen to us older guys when we're trying to tell you something. Because we've been through some stuff that's made us humble and has kicked us around. Life has beat us, and we know a few things, just a couple of things, just a few things you could get some from us. Okay, that was for free. All right, that advice. No, I don't think you should do your children that way. No. Anyway, let's move on before I get in trouble. Then the next thing he says in this paragraph, it says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil. In other words, there's a submission to God. There's a surrendering that needs to take place as part of your overall day in and day out responsibilities of life. There's this sanctification that needs to take place, continual, ongoing, where we submit our wills to Jesus. We submit. That's an ongoing thing. But it says here, submit. So you have a decision to make whether you're going to submit to the will of God. It says here, submit. Or he wouldn't tell you if you couldn't do it. So there's a submission and a surrender. What's the next thing he says in this passage? Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. There's a drawing near to God. There's a seeking after God. There's a part of us, you know, going after him through our devotions and word and prayer. And I talked about this 2 weeks ago, how to enter into a relationship with Jesus on a deeper level. I spoke about that some. Then it says, cleanse your hands, O sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. In other words, repent. Say you're sorry. When you messed up, repent. Ask Jesus to forgive you. Don't walk in pride. Well, me and God got to, you know, we got it figured out. I've heard this so many times. Me and God got an understanding. The only understanding God's got is that you're not obeying the Bible. That's the only understanding you have. God doesn't cut deals with anybody. He is Lord. That's what we do. That's our responsibility to move in a deeper grace so that we can go up. We can go downward so we can go upward. So we can increase. That's what we do in order to, I believe, enter into grace on a new level. Now, here's what Jesus does. There is a supernatural element to grace through the Holy Spirit that I cannot define in my mind. I can't. It's so supernatural. It's better than anything we deserve. It defies reason, and it's greater than we can imagine, this grace in which we walk. I've had a grace moment. I could go through list of just moments. I say that was a grace moment where God intervened, God interjected at that moment, and it was so beyond what I'm worthy of that it had to be from Jesus. Supernatural. I can't define it. I can't explain it. If you have to understand everything with your mind about Jesus, you're going to be the most frustrated person you'll ever meet, because you can't understand everything about him. He reveals to us. The Bible says what you have, he reveals to us. He reveals what he wants to reveal. But there are things that are mysteries that we have to just stand and believe on. When it comes to, and grace is one of those things. Those what I call a grace moment. I was trying to think. I've had so many grace moments. But one grace moment that came to my mind, I was talking to somebody this week, and it brought back to my remembrance. Back before me and Catherine were married, I was living in this apartment. Luann Woodward used to, before they got married, that was her apartment. And so when they got married, me and Kevin were roommates. And then when they got married, they moved, and I moved into her apartment. Well, I was in there one night at 12 o'clock midnight reading my Bible. And I was sitting on the bed, and the apartment has two glass pane windows, like one here and one here. And I was sitting on one side with the lamp. My shoulder was exposed. And there's two, another lamp. So somebody drove by. took a shotgun with slugs in it. I'm not talking about bird shot. I'm talking about slug you shoot a deer with. And he popped it, pop, 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 three, boom, 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 right into my apartment. Now, I guess I've been around enough guns. I've never been in the military. I was on the bend. I flew, flapped over the other side, just like I was had been in the military training. I went over and flopped over. I said, I guess I've been around guns enough to know you got to get away from where the opening is. And I flopped over there. And I sit there thinking, look, look, you got the wrong guy. I'm not a drug dealer. You know, this is not a drug dealer going back. Go on down to the next road. This is not me. I'm not the one. I'm a. And then one of the shots went through the window on the other side, the same level as where my shoulder was, just on the other side. If they had shot at the light, I would have been dead or wounded majorly. The other one went above and to the side. So I don't think they were really trying to get me. They were just shooting off stuff. But that was a grace moment in my life. If he had moved his gun over just a little bit, it would have killed me or maimed me so badly. But that was a grace moment. I remember going up to the police were out there, and it's like, we've never even came to a call here. We had a hard time finding it. You know, and I was like, well, so they came on in, and they were taking pictures and all the things that police do after there's a crime committed. And the guy told me, he said, you know, shooting into an occupied dwelling is 10 to 15 years. And I thought to myself, you know, that person could have just ruined his life if they catch him for doing something stupid. Well, they come to find out later that they were just going off shooting off guns. So I don't think he was really going after me. He didn't identify me as somebody else or some drug dealer going bad or whatever. But that was a grace moment that I look back on and said, you know, God rescued my life at that moment. He rescued me. And there are grace moments. We probably could all go down the line and say that was a moment of grace that I can't explain the grace of God at this moment. But there was a supernatural protection and grace that God gave me to not make this decision or to not let this thing happen or things like that. And I can go through, I can give you a whole list of those kind of issues that come up with God's grace. So there's a supernatural grace. We do what we're supposed to do to believe God for grace, as I mentioned. But then there's an element of God's grace that is just so beyond my fathomable understanding. I don't know if that's a word I just used, but I can't already fathom the grace that comes for those who walk after Him. He gives us grace through our trials. That's one of the number one. He gives us grace through our trials. It says, Paul is writing, he says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there has been given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that he might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. My grace is sufficient. I've been amazed at this supernatural grace when people go through trials and tribulations. I've had some things happen in my own life. I look back and say, how did I make it through that? How and get to where I am now? And I believe that as we're increasing in 2018, not only are we going to increase in what we do to bring her into grace, I believe God's going to increase in what He's going to do for us for grace. Things that in the past that were struggles and we had a hard time breaking through, God's going to begin to open up doors. He's going to begin to see doors open, and things that struggled are going to just sort of fall into our lap. That's a new grace that we can walk in that. But I've been amazed at that times when God would just pour out His grace. You know, there's another aspect of this too. God gives us grace for the gifts He's given us. Grace to fulfill who we are. It's Ephesians 4:7 says, but to this one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Only to the measure of Christ's gift. There's a grace that God wants to give us. You know, there's certain giftings that we have. And you couple that with God's grace, there's really no end to where God can take you. I mean, obviously, I'm never going to be a professional baseball player. Those days are long past, and I wouldn't even have done it in my prime. I wouldn't have been a professional baseball player. But, so that wasn't my gift is what I mean. But if you have a gift for something, and you let the Holy Spirit's grace come upon you, there's no telling what God will do in your life. There's no limit to where He'd take you. Because He uses your gifting that He gives you, accompanied with grace. And people say, "Well, I've done all this stuff, and I haven't had God helping me do anything. Well, first off, God gifted you, whether you know it or not. He gave you gifted. The only thing is, I will only imagine what kind of grace you would have walked under if you had done it Jesus' way. You think you did something without him, imagine what you'd have done with him. So there's a gifting. God gives you the grace to fulfill the gifting and the calling God has. And also, just to continue on, he gives you grace for your gifts. He gives you the grace to fulfill your calling. 2 Corinthians says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. God is able to make all grace abound to you. He didn't say a little grace. He didn't say just a little smidgen of grace. He says all grace abound to you. So as we go deeper, and then we go higher, we'll increase. But it's going to take the grace of God. It's not by might nor power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. See, striving and know that I am God. I'm not going to trust in the horses or in chariots, the Bible says. I'm going to trust in the Lord my God. So we do what we know to do, but we've got to trust in Jesus, in the grace that he gives us that to empower us to do what he's called us to do. So if we want to increase, we got to increase in grace. If we want to increase, I need more grace. I pray for grace. I pray, Lord Jesus, I need your grace. Holy Spirit, come upon me today. Give me your grace to be able to accomplish all that you called me to do and do it well. We can try to do it without Jesus, and sometimes we can make it right and sometimes not. But I pray and say, God, give me your grace. Help me, Lord Jesus. The surviving remnant of the house of Judah will again take root downward and bear fruit upward. The surviving remnant of the house of Judah will again take root downward and bear fruit upward. We got to go down. We got to go deeper before we can go up. If we're going to increase this year in your life, we're going to increase in my life, we're going to increase in this church. If we don't need it, we need the grace of God to help us do it all, because we can't do it ourselves. It's going to be Jesus Christ, and Christ alone is going to make this happen for us. And he's going to make it happen for you. In Jesus' name. I want to pray for you right now. Father, I pray for every person in here. I pray, Lord Jesus, as we're believing to increase this year, as we're believing to go forward this year, personally and as a church, I pray for the increase. I pray for the increase. But Lord, I pray that you would give us the grace that we need to fulfill all that you called us to do this year. Lord, we know it's not by might nor power. We know it's not by our own strength of our might. We know it's going to take the grace of God poured out upon us so that we can increase this year, 2018. Lord, I need more grace. I need more of your favor. I need more of you, who you are and what you're doing in my life. Help me walk in grace. Help me walk in favor today. Help us all, Lord Jesus, to be who you called us to be. Not in our own strength, not in the power of our own might and our own intellect, but help us to walk after you with the grace that you've given and so freely bestow upon those who love you and walk after you, so that our works will be not of wood, hay, and stubble that can be burned up, but that our works would be gold, silver, and precious stones. As we're increasing, let our increase be in gold, silver, and precious stones, Lord Jesus. As we're increasing this year, let your grace blow upon us, your favor blow upon us, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.